Live from the Carlson Center in Fairbanks, Alaska, this is the Gavel to Gavel broadcast of the 2013 Alaska Federation of Natives Convention. Today's broadcast is heard on radio stations across Alaska and the nation, also streaming on the internet at knba.org and nv1.org. Major funding provided by the Siri Foundation, ConocoPhillips, South Central Foundation, Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, Donlin Gold, the Pebble Partnership, the Rasmussen Foundation, Jalista Corporation, and Manilik Association. This is a production of KNBA, Quahonic Broadcast Corporation, and Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is KNBA's live gavel-to-gavel coverage of the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention, coming to you from the Carlson Center in Fairbanks. I'm Jocelyn Estes, your host. And we have guests today from the health field, Valerie Davidson and Paul Sherry. Valerie, why don't we start with you? Tell us about what you do first.
Hi, Jocelyn.
Hi.
My name is Valerie Davidson, and I do legal and intergovernmental affairs at the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium.
And Paul?
Hi. I work for ANTHT as well, and my title is Health Systems Strategist. I work in the administration.
So, Valerie, tell us, how are Alaska Natives affected by the Affordable Care Act?
So there are five important things for Alaska Natives to know about the Affordable Care Act. The first and most important thing is that tribal health programs are going to continue. They're not going away. So the clinic or the health facility that you receive your care in today, you'll still be able to access into the future. The second important thing to remember is there's an opportunity for increased coverage, which is something that Paul's going to talk about. The third thing that people need to remember is that they need to apply for the Indian exemption to the individual mandate. The fourth thing folks need to know about is Medicaid expansion is optional for our state, and Medicaid expansion would be tremendously helpful for our community, and it's important that our state choose to do Medicaid expansion. And the last thing, the fifth thing, is to remember that we can help and that we have resources that to draw upon so that people can call or email and we can provide them with help.
So let me ask you this first. Now, under the Affordable Care Act, everybody has to apply and purchase health insurance, except Native Americans don't. And can you explain that? Why is that?
Sure. So American Indians and Alaska Natives are really lucky because although we are exempt from the individual mandate, we also have the option of purchasing additional insurance if we choose to. And so to be eligible for the individual mandate, to be eligible for the Indian exemption, you have to either be an enrolled tribal member, an ANCSA village or regional corporation shareholder, or you must receive your health care through a tribal health facility or be an IHS beneficiary. And if you fall into one of those categories, you'll have to apply for the exemption. It's going to be a paper application. It's going to be available in December. So think about this as a January activity. The forms will be available in every health facility in the state. And you only have to do it once. And once you apply and get the exemption, it's a lifetime exemption.
And people can apply for the exemption because they're covered by Indian Health Service?
Yes.
Okay. So, Paul, why don't you talk about the opportunity for increased coverage?
Sure. So under the Affordable Care Act, anybody now can actually obtain a health insurance policy. And we expect that many people will, and many Alaska Native people will take a look at it if they want to have a policy that as this moves forward, you'll be able to see a range of plans that are available. And based on your income, you'll have a subsidy from the federal government. So we think a lot of people will take a look at it. We're taking that a step further because around the country, tribes now have the authority to sponsor Native people for health insurance. And we've talked with many tribes throughout the states who are have made a commitment to assist their members in having an insurance policy. So if you don't have Medicaid or you don't have Medicare, if you don't have a policy from your company or you're not a veteran, then tribes are assisting people that are in that, that don't have those coverages to get a policy. And of course, the reason the tribes are doing this is that those policies can then help pay for medical care when the person comes to the clinic. So it's a win-win for the patient and the tribal health provider.
So people, if you're an Alaska Native, you can get medical care. I mean, the arrangement between the federal government and Native Americans is that in exchange for all the land and resources that tribes gave to the to the United States of America, the federal government pledged to cover health care costs. And
they do, but they only, through the Indian Health Service, they really only finance about half of the cost of care. And the rest of it we get by Native people enrolling in Medicare or Medicaid, and that brings in the additional funds that we need to fulfill that obligation of the government. So one way or another, the government is helping to pay the bill. It's just not all through the Indian Health Service.
So if you're an individual and you're considering getting private insurance, what would be the incentive?
Well, I think that, the main incentive is that, first of all, you have some, I guess if you ask a person that has a health insurance policy, are you happy you have one? Most people will say yes. I mean, it gives me access to care, maybe in places where there isn't a Native health facility. If I have a health insurance policy, it's going to help me get in the door. The policies basically cover many of the same services that IHS provides. But the real reason that we're encouraging people to do it is to help generate the resources to support your local health facilities.
Valerie?
And health insurance will often pay for medically necessary travel. So if you pick the right plan that has a travel benefit, that may be really important to your family if you don't live in a community that has a service available.
So some of us are, I'm not sure what the phrase would be, but we're challenged when it comes to wading through. I know the federal website right now has problems, but even after it gets fixed, there's going to be an array of insurance policies that people can look at and consider. So how can people get through that effectively and easily?
By contacting their regional hospital or health center's patient benefits office or alternate health resource office. There'll be people all around the state that will be able to assist Native people in knowing their obligations and making some choices that they could make.
You can also send us an email by sending an email to healthreform@anthc.org, or you can also call us toll free at 855-882-6842 and ask for the Health Reform team.
Okay, what was that phone number again?
855-882-6842.
Okay. healthreform@anthc.org?
Yes.
Okay. Any other advice? Oh, well, why don't you talk about Medicaid expansion?
Sure. So every state has the opportunity to participate in Medicaid expansion. And unfortunately, it's now an optional program. When the law was written, it was mandatory. But the Supreme Court decided that states could choose to reject Medicaid expansion. And so if our state chooses to do Medicaid expansion, then 41,500 people would be covered under Medicaid. About 12,000 to 16,000 would be Alaska Native or American Indians living in our state. But there's also a tremendous economic benefit, not only to individuals, but also to the state economy. ANTHC commissioned some analysis of what that would look like based upon the compounding effect. And in a nutshell, it would create, just in the first 7 years, Medicaid expansion would create 4,000 new jobs, not just in healthcare, but all throughout